church, a brother of Melody, brother of brother-in-law of Tom, brother-in-law. Really? Seriously? I have to keep going on with this? Brother, never mind. Y'all know who I am. Wow. Praise God. If you would like to turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, we'll take our scripture from there. And then I'll just preach as I feel directed of God, speak to you in the name of Jesus. So Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. And if you find that in your Bible and you would like to stand, I'm not commanding you to, but if you would like to, sometimes that helps with the blood flow and all other things. You can stand, we'll read the word together. Exodus 33:19 said, "Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know I have nothing in and of myself that could feed the people today. We are a varied group of people of various ages, and we're speaking this word over the internet, and there's no way that I could bring anything, God, but I'm asking you to feed the people, feed the sheep, strengthen them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. I have been meditating in the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and that looking back on our lives, we kind of tend to do that as we get a little bit older in life. I still feel like I'm young, but my body tells me that I'm not, and so. But I look back and reflect on things and circumstances of life, and I can believe that I can see the goodness of God on my life all the way through from start to finish. In the mind of God, in the will of God, He caused me to be born. And He made me and shaped me in my mother's womb. And it was God that brought me into this earth, even though there's been seasons of my life that I did not think that my life had meaning or had organization or had any type of leading in it, that maybe I'm just an abstract floating around in the universe. But life has dealt us many things with my wife and five kids and, one, two, three, four grandchildren now. And so we've experienced a lot of different things in life. I don't know as much as you. And some of you that are here that have gone before me, I want to honor your pastor who faithfully serves her community and the family of faith here and the work of God. And I want to give toward the kid. We didn't have an offering, as it were, per se. But are you in charge of that for the youth? I want to give. Okay, well, here, let me give that to you, and you can put it with the kids going to youth camp. And I'm so glad to hear about you doing things outside of the four walls of the church. When I read the stories of the Bible, and especially those pertaining to Jesus, he was an outside the four walls type of person. He went inside the four walls, but inside the four walls actually is where he met the greatest opposition and the greatest resistance to his message. He went outside to the common people. The Bible refers to him as the friends of sinners. And he was referred to in speaking of John the Baptist came neither drinking or eating, as it were, and you didn't receive him. And then they said of Jesus, he's a wine bibbler and he hangs out with publicans and sinners. So Jesus was saying in that context, I've come to you from two sides of the spectrum, and the problem is you're stubborn and stiff-necked people and you don't really want God. You want to cleave to the power of your religion and you want to cleave to the power of manipulation. And Jesus came to declare liberty and freedom and giving people a conscience that is led by the Holy Spirit and not a list of do's and don'ts and rules to follow. And so I'm not a traditionalist. If you're expecting me to preach like Ray H. Hughes, you're probably going to get up and leave in about 10 minutes because I don't preach like Ray H. Hughes. I'm not Jimmy Swaggart, that's for sure. So I've laid all of that down so that I could just be Rick and that maybe God could say something and maybe God could say something to you. So God is good. And in all of the situations and circumstances of life, I've looked back. I've had some great disappointments as much as a day ago. The disappointment hit me like a brick right upside the face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just pow, where did that come from? And I have to do this thing that we call in the South, I reckon. You know, y'all heard of that? Even Paul was from the South. The Bible said, Paul said, I reckon that the present sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in Christ. So I have to do some reckoning. And I reckon as much as I don't want to, I really want to be a bitter man. I want to. My flesh wants to be aggravated. I want to cuss. You know, I do. What a wonderful thing. Michelle and I, we pray in the morning and it's nice. And sometimes we don't pray. We might just sit there on the couch and hold hands. And I may pray in the spirit with my lips are moving, but you don't hear me. But I sense the presence of God. And I don't care. I don't care $1 million for religion, but I do care about the presence of God in my life and the Spirit of the Lord moving in my life. And we can sit on the couch and I can feel the stir of God's presence and I can get in my truck and 2 stoplights later, I just want to kill somebody. That's how I roll. So I work a very stressful job. We're no longer in what you would call full-time ministry, as it were. But I've learned that nobody needs to be on a pedestal. I don't need a platform. I don't need a microphone. And thank God for those that serve in the capacity of pastor or evangelist and these things. But I have learned that the harvest is outside the four walls. And I have learned that God has appointed me in seasons and places. The place that I work right now is high stress level, a lot of long hours and a lot of roughneck people and just people in general. But we have those sweet little moments where we'll get to say something about Jesus to individuals' lives. And I'm going to say that, you know, I appreciate my brother and his ministry and also having been in a pulpit ministry. But he's always been a servant's heart and goes to Mexico and has always been one to bring stuff to people, to hurting people. He's always had a connection with people outside the realm of professional religion, let's say. Okay. But people look up to him and have found solace and have heard the voice of God in his work. And I know that he works in the medical field, but I know that his heart is not only to help people, but his heart is to somehow share Jesus somehow. Somehow that through his ministering in the physical body, that somehow there might be an opportunity to speak, but witnessing is not about speaking. It's about doing, and it's about being. People know if you care, and they know if they're encountering something is different about you. I don't have to bring my favorite 10 scriptures to lay out on people. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I don't have to beat you down with my lists of convictions. All I have to do is live my life in such a way that the presence of God can be discerned. And eventually, I will be asked, what's up with you or what's different about you? I love to talk to people in parables. You know, I think I came by that somewhere in the Bible where Jesus didn't quote scriptures like a machine gun. but he told stories that related to people and where they live. If you were to encounter Jesus in his day, he wasn't in the synagogue preaching from Isaiah. He quoted it. He quoted the Bible, but he told people stories and how they could relate and how it would relate to them. And he did works of healing and of graciousness and forgiving people and healing people and touching little children and doing these things. And then finally coming to complete abasement, complete emptying of himself as God clothed in flesh. He hung on the cross naked and died for humanity without so much as a peep out of his mouth towards his accusers. He was all about love. He was all about demonstrating it and demonstrating not the top 10 rules. If you wanted to argue, he wouldn't argue with you. He'd just tell you something that would blow you away and just cause you to be in bafflement of what he had to say. He's not going to contend with you with the scriptures. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the religious realm quickly understood that they were outgunned and outmatched. And simply because he had a legitimate relationship with the Father. He really did know God as Father, and he really had something with God, and he in fact was God clothed in flesh. So I enjoy the opportunity to speak the word, and we do that in various different times, and I'm glad to be here this morning. But I want to tell you that I just really would prefer to just share with you what God has put in my heart. And what God has put in my heart is in reference to faithfulness. This Exodus 33, of course, is a story that is talking about Moses' encounter with God on the occasion of the Ten Commandments being given. And he comes down from Mount Sinai, and the people are in disarray, and they're worshiping idols, and they're acting in lewd pagan rituals. And you know the story. He comes down, and you see Moses. You know, he was a little bit wound up himself, and he came down and threw the Ten Commandments, and he pitched a fit in front of the people and was pretty upset. And you know, and God is telling Moses, "Hey, you know, it's cool. I'm going to send you on ahead. We're going to take the people into the promised land." After Moses interceded for him, because God said, "Hey, get apart from them. I'm going to kill them right here, and I'm going to raise up some seed from you, and I'm going to make a people out of you." And Moses said, "Whoa, huh? No, God, far be it from you. I mean, the Egyptians, everybody's going to laugh at us. They're going to mock that you couldn't bring the people of Israel into the promised land." Can anybody, y'all understand what I'm saying? All right, amen. We'll take a traditional amen. That would be fine. Every now and then, okay. That would be fine. So Moses now, he is pretty distraught, and God is saying, "I'm going to send you, but I'm not going with you." And Moses says, "Oh, I can't go like that. I have no desire to go like that. I want to see you. I want to see something of you. You got to help me. God, you got to help me. I cannot carry this load. I cannot do this. I'd never want to do it. I tried to do it at first, and I killed the Egyptian, and now I got sent out, Pharaoh pursuing me. I got chased out to the land of Midian. I've been hanging out in the desert for 40 years, and it's been good. And then you had to show up with the burning bush thing. And so I went back. Yeah, I made all kinds of excuses. I can't speak, you know, and God said, take Aaron with you. And you know, all the things that transpired there. And now here's poor old Moses, and he's just saying, "God, I need something more of you." And, God responds, and he says, "I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be have compassion on whom I will have compassion." And, you know, God helped Moses, and he kept going. And we know that Moses fell short of a complete victory And Moses was not able to go into the promised land. Our hero Moses, amen. Even Moses failed, as it were. And so I took that scripture out and to talk to you about the faithfulness of God. I want to tell you a little bit from Matthew chapter 14 about this story that I think will help us to maybe grasp a little bit of the faithfulness of God and how that God works in our lives and how that we are humans and we are humanity. We are human beings. We are clothed in a corruptible flesh, and how that we have our propensities that are unlike God, but it is the faithfulness of God that keeps us and the goodness of God that has been upon our lives. In Matthew 14, 22, I'll read a little bit of the scripture. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, that's his disciples. Jesus came walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Don't be afraid." And one thing I want to tell you, that in life there's going to be calm seas and there's going to be stormy seas. There's going to be occasions where you feel like you can do it and we're on fire. And then there's going to be occasions in your life where you're going to feel like I can't even get up. I can't even go anymore. All right. But I've got to somehow. And we find this picture of circumstances. When they set out, they're on the boat. It's no problem. They're doing their thing. And then Jesus comes up and it's a ghost and they're afraid. And circumstances are going to be like that. I'm going to feel like, man, I can do it. And I'm going to feel like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do it. Can I get a latte espresso? Can I get a Red Bull? Can I, somebody help me get something to get going here? But circumstances will be like that. There will be troublesome situations and trying times. There will be favorable conditions. There will be hills and valleys. Circumstances in this life will forever be changing. And because of this, we can experience God's faithfulness. Because things are going to be good, bad, indifferent, we can know the faithfulness of God. You could not know the faithfulness of God if every circumstance was wonderful and beautiful and paradise. You wouldn't know what the faithfulness of God is. I love Andre Crouch's song where he said, "I've had many hills and sorrows. I've had, you know, I can't remember the words of it. Yeah, but I wouldn't, if I didn't have all these troubles, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God's Word can do." But the point of it is, through it all, yes, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through all of these things, we gain a knowledge of God. And too much of our experience or too much of our desire is how to get out of problems or get out of trouble. I would to God that we would begin to desire to get out from the trouble what it is that God has put in it for us. Come on. Can I get out of the situation what God has put in the situation for my life? Can I get out of the adversity what it is that God has interwoven into that adversity for me, so that I might know more of Him, more about Him, so that I might be equipped for whatever life brings to me? The privilege that we have is not to know about God, but it is to know God. That is to have an intimate knowledge of God. That is to say that He walks with me. and He talks with me. He carries me. He cares for me. I know Him in the good times and I know Him in the bad times. I know Him on the mountain and I've seen Him in the valley. He's with me everywhere. He knows my every care and I know that God is faithful. I don't need a perfect circumstance. I don't need a perfect situation. I've got a perfect God who loves me, cares for me, and He's not worried about or displaced by my faithlessness. He's not displaced by my humanity. When He sees my humanity show up, He shows up with the fivefold ministry of God. He shows up with the number five, that is grace. And He shows up with grace and He teaches me it's not about what I am. It's not about what I can do. It's about who He is and what He can do. He's trying to tell me and show me that it's all about Him. What can He do here? How is He going to do it this time? And what can I learn from this situation? We live in a media-driven, opinionated culture. And we think it's our God-given right to share our opinion about everything. And it is the worst thing that could ever happen. Because your opinion is just your opinion. That's all it is. It's your opinion. But there's only one sovereign who knows the truth. You think you know. You know, I would to God that we could just sit down and say, you know what? I wish they'd get down. I wish they'd gather around the Oval Office or down there on the Senate floor or over there in Congress. And I wish they'd say, you know what? We ain't got a clue. Let's pray. We don't know what to do. Instead, we run around and we get our little groups up and we fuss and we fight and we want what we want. And I'm going to tell you what, if gas goes to $10, $15, if it goes to $20 a gallon, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, while the world is bickering and complaining and backbiting and cursing and having a fit, you and I, as the children of God, ought to have a little poise in our lives. Ought to have a little peace in our lives. We ought to be able, instead of joining a party riding a donkey or sitting on an elephant, we ought to say, donkey, elephant, it don't matter to me. What matters to me is the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm seeking first, the kingdom. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not here to play the political game, as it were, because I follow in the steps of my Savior Jesus. He could care less. So what? You got your little thing? I've got news for you. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom's of another world. Sure, pay. What, whose inscription is it on that coin? Well, it's Caesar. Well, give to Caesar what Caesar's then. And give to God's what's God's. We get so caught up in this world. We get so caught up in our patriotic. I want to tell you something. I thank God for people who serve our country, and we're fixing to go up on Memorial Day here. Memorial Day is the season where we recognize those, we memorialize those who paid the ultimate price. And I thank God for that. But I want to tell you, that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is the kingdom of God. But we're human. We want to be praised. Our sinful nature wants to be elevated or worshipped. And we want to be, you know, recognized. And we want to feel like, our sacrifice worthy of it. And some people think, well, it wasn't if so and so was in office. Well, I feel sorry for you. You should have put your service and reckoned it as service to God. Because it could all fold. But anything you've done in God will stand for eternity. So are we pleasing God? Are we worried about what's going to happen? And naturally the flesh is going to be that way. But have we not learned? I don't know. Maybe we haven't. And I don't know what's next in the road for my life. But I can tell you this. Sometimes you just get knocked down so many times. And so many times every time you get lifted back up again. Hello. Somewhere maybe you would think that if I get knocked down, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get lifted up again. One day they're going to knock me all the way down into the hole and put dirt over me. But I'm going to tell you what, ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. Amen. There's no weapon formed that has the ability to prosper over your lives. Why don't we carry ourselves like that? Why don't we carry ourselves like that when others are grumbling about first one thing and then another? Why don't we empathize with people and what they're struggling with, but then tell them, hey, but you know what? I witnessed to a guy on the job where I work at, and I went into a whole spiel about my dad. He was talking about, I'm trying to stay on the camera here. He has some street language. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm not going to demonstrate it for you this morning, okay? But he talks with, we used to call it sailor, you know, talk like a sailor. But, I mean, everything on his life, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, I'm tell you what, my dad, listen, I'm not rich, but my dad can take care of me, you know. This job is not this ain't the only thing for me. I mean, you complaining because of this job? If I ain't got this job, I'll get another. Amen. I mean, there's no end to what my God can do. But I didn't say that. I was talking about my dad and my dad. I said, my dad, you know, my dad will take care of me, you know, and all this. And he's looking at me and cursing at me and stuff. And I said, you know who my dad is, don't you? I said, well, my father is God. And that's when the boom, that was the mic. But my father is God. He's looking at me like, what? I said, yeah, you know, the cool thing is that his son died for me. And all I got to do is put my trust in that. And now I've got a connection with God Almighty. And he's going to supply all my needs. You know, and you can have a relationship like that with your dad. You know, God is your father. The only thing is, I didn't say this to him at that point. God is his father, too. He just doesn't know it. Yeah, no wonder he's cussing like a sailor. No wonder he's mad about everything. No wonder he's ready to. No wonder he does the things that he does. It's because he's an orphan and he doesn't know God's his father. Amen. Sometimes I forget, and that's when I go to. That's when. You're laughing. Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off on the street. Circumstances of life are forever changing. But because of that, I can experience God in a new way. I can experience the faithfulness of God in a new way. We can gain firsthand knowledge. We can have a story worth recording, worthy to be a book in the Bible. Huh? There's a book in the Bible of a woman, a Moabitess. Her name is Ruth. Well, there could be a story in the chapter, in the book of the Bible, named Rick. I tell you what, we don't look at the book that way. We look at the book as a sacred canonized version, holy leather bound It's just a bunch of stories about people that God was working in their lives about. And you have a book too. It's not printed. It's not for us to carry around. It's not for us to enshrine. But I'm trying to say to you that your life is as of much value as Ruth's life. And the significance of your travels in this life are as significant as the life of Ruth. Oh, we know Ruth went on and she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ and she's in the lineage of King David. But wait a minute, and all that. But don't you know that I'm also in the lineage of Jesus Christ? Don't you know that I am also related to Jesus? He's my elder brother. It's what the Bible tells me. Don't you know that God knows me, knows the number of hairs that's upon my head? Don't you know that He's concerned about me? Don't you know that where I am, there He is also? If you've seen me, you've also seen the Father, because I was born again, not of the will of man, not by the will of the blood, but by the will of God, the will of His Spirit. I became born again. I'm a child of God. I represent God, and God is working in me. He's working in me exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all I could ever think or ask, I'm capable of, because I have a Father. I'm not an illegitimate son. I've been born again. Religion can't bring that to you, but a spirit birth can. Been born again. Came awake. I woke up. And I don't know everything. And I don't understand everything, but I have seen the faithfulness of God in my life. The story about this right here, Jesus gets to the disciples on the stormy sea and they're afraid. Then Peter jumps up and he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out there to you. So he said, come. Jesus said, come on. Come on, Peter. And he came out of the boat. You know the story. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. He went from boldness to bewilderment. That's okay. That's all right. It's part of the experiential knowledge that God wants you to have. If you go from boldness to bewilderment, that's okay. You are not God. You're just children of God. And He understands that. And you'll have to grow. And He's gonna have you grow. No matter how much you cry, no matter how much you bemoan it, no matter how much you don't want to experience it, He's gonna let you experience it. Amen. To prove to you and to show you that He's a faithful God. We can expect to experience the power of the Holy Spirit moving in us to act boldly. I'm equally certain that we may have temporary paralysis of faith. We're going to have the high marks. We're going to have those low marks. In the text, we see Peter had a bold move. He made a bold move. Then we see Jesus saying, don't be afraid. And Peter made a bold move. Regardless of what may or may not follow, God honors Peter's faith. Peter had made a bold move. He had stepped out in faith and then he got afraid and he got intimidated and he got displaced by the visual evidence that he was experiencing. But that wouldn't seal his fate. That wouldn't end his ministry. That wouldn't cause God to dismiss him from his role in life. You know what? And I think that you and I need to understand that our ebb and flow and our highs and lows are not going to disqualify us either. They're not going to pull, God isn't going to pull the rug out from underneath your feet. Well, boy, you're a real loser, aren't you? As a matter of fact, you could go so far as to say that God understood that He would fail, and you could go so far as to say He would need to experience failure in His life. And I can even prove that from the scripture, because it was Jesus that told Peter before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. But I have prayed for you, not that you wouldn't deny me. I prayed for you that when you've been converted, I prayed for you to recover. Hello? That's all. I have not prayed for you to escape it. I have prayed for you to recover. I just want to tell somebody that God knows you. And He's prayed for you, not that you wouldn't stumble, but He's prayed for you that when you stumble, that you'd remember that it's His faithfulness and not yours. You see, the stories in the Bible, they're not the stories of the faithfulness of men. They're the stories of the faithfulness of God. And that's where worship comes from. Worship doesn't come from, we've been good, we've been good, we've been good. Worship comes from, He's been good, He's been good, He's been good. You've got to encounter God in various and sundry ways in your life, just like Peter, and take those bold steps as you feel the Spirit leads you. And in those times when you may not feel sufficient for the task, and you may stumble, and you may find yourself in a situation where you're embarrassed. There I am, stepped out on the water, and I'm totally embarrassed. And who knows about what the other guys in the boat are thinking about me now. I can't even face them. How can I go back to that church? How can I go back and try to be what I think God has called me to be, because I've lived a life of a lot of failures? I'm going to tell you how. It's because everybody in that church has failed God. Some of them know it and some of them don't. None of us will be qualified before God by our works of righteousness. None of us will toot our horn about the things that we did. We will all be abased before the feet of the King, and we will worship Him and give praise and honor and glory to God and say, thank God. Thank you, God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Even in the times I didn't know it and I struggled and I wrestled, now looking back, I see you were faithful. All you've got to do is ask David the king or Abraham the patriarch or Joseph the dreamer, and they'll tell you. I'm going to tell you something. It was God's faithfulness, not mine. God did it. God carried me. Peter cried out. Immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Some of us read that and we read it like this. Oh, you of little faith, what's your problem? Get your tail in the boat. And some of us kind of read it probably in the more of the context. Oh, man, bro. Did you not see me do these miracles, man? Did you not cast out devils in my name when I sent you and the 70 out? Bro, you was walking on the water, man. Why'd you doubt, man? Come on, man. He takes him immediately to the shore. Some of us see it in that light. Some of us have God is ready to crush you. I'm so disappointed with you. Oh, I can't wait to send fire in the earth. When I read the Bible, it says He wouldn't have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened was, is Lot give up on 10. You know what? And people that go in this route. And that wicked city, San Francisco. Well, listen, let me tell you something. There's more than 10 people in San Francisco that love God. Okay. I'm from San Francisco. Hello. You're ready to kill it. I live next door to New Orleans. It's a crazy, radical, devil-infested city. But I want to tell you, there are some people over there that love God. And let me tell you something else. There's some people over there who are just have blinders on. They don't know the love of God. God isn't chomping at the bit to send fire and brimstone and destroy the world. The Bible said God is slow, long-suffering, and He's not willing that anyone should perish. We need to check our attitude about people. Because they don't look like us. And they don't sing like us. And they don't worship like us. And they're not like us. And thank God they're not yellow. Not that we're bad or different. I would to God that we could simplify and just stay to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message is, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Because Jesus said, I can give you living water. From out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Because I have the capability, I lived amongst you, but now I can live in you. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. You don't need no man to tell you what to do. What you need is a living experience whereby you're born again and receive the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit teach you from the Word of God. First-hand knowledge. Yeah, we can share our story and we need to. Yes, we need guidelines. Yes, we do. I raised our family. Michelle helped a little. Sure, yeah. She cooks, she cleans, she burps, she feds, she changes the diet. Okay, well, she raised our children. Okay, get right down to it. I was there, though. A very present. I was a present. Okay. God loves people. He loves you. They do it differently. The disciples had a problem with that. They came to Jesus one time. Hey, we've seen some people preaching Jesus, declaring you, and they're not with us. What should we do about it? Nothing. Leave them alone. You worry about you. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, I can't do much anymore. Can you go to the doctor's office? Yes, yeah, I can go to the doctor's office. Can you be sweet at the doctor's office? Oh, yeah. Wait, what? Can you just love somebody? I know I can't. I have to have help. Amen. Wherever I find myself, I'm going to reach for God. That's the whole gist of what I want to say. No matter where you are, no matter what you're experiencing or how life is treating you today, I just want to ask you to reach for God. God is near to you. It's so near to us as we think about being here together and gathered together. Jesus said, where any two are gathered together in my name, I'm actually there. How much of our experience has been about God or talking about God? You know how weird it would be for me to be here today and talk about my mom or talk about my wife like I have to tell you about them. All I have to do is show you them. There she is. You see, that could be a problem that we have today. We're so busy trying to tell people about God because we don't necessarily feel like we have God. your life is significant. And whenever you, whatever you give, a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, you have a reward. But not only that, wherever you are, God is there with you. You don't have to feel like you have to make people understand. You don't have to feel like you have to elevate yourself up. All you really need to do is just be humble and declare what God has said. And God will stand by it. God will stand with you. God is in this place. We didn't know it. That's how we could be. God is in this place, but we haven't seen it. We haven't discerned it. We haven't received it by faith. Is God in your life today? Well, is He? I have a claim ticket here somewhere. There it is. I feel it. It's a claim ticket for my bag. And I could give it to anybody at the airport. My wife could have got my bag. Not her bag. My bag. She could have got it if she'd had my claim ticket. The Bible said that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus, it's Jesus' bag, okay? It's Jesus' righteousness. It's Jesus' perfection. It's Jesus' works. It's Jesus' cross. It's Jesus' empty tomb. It's Jesus' commendation from the Father. Well done. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And what God has done in the person of Jesus, He said, you can claim the bag. You can claim the righteousness. You can claim the peace. You can claim the joy. You can claim the position. You just have to receive the claim check. And that is when the Spirit of God draws you, is that you say, yes, I believe you're the Son of God. Yes. I receive you. I receive you, Jesus. I lay my life at your feet. I give you my life. Where have you been? Where have you been lately? I'm going to tell you what qualifies a person for worship. Thanksgiving. Enter in His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. I don't care what you did last night or what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did 15 minutes ago. Can you have a heart of thanksgiving? Can you receive the foolishness of a gospel message that said someone died for you? And God accepted them and proved it by raising Him from the dead? And that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. And you can be sealed with the Holy Spirit and something can happen inside of you and you can be born again. You can have a new life and a new direction and a new communication with God. The voice that calmed the sea can be the voice that lives within you, and God can be your Father. It's up to you. It's your call. I want to ask you, if you want to stand with us this morning. And my wife is going to come and help me again. to see such a lovely Hearts With Me volunteer. And she's my help. So I pray, let's pray together for those who may watch this presentation online. We pray for you if you watch this online and something stirred and moved in your heart somewhere, somehow. God drew on your heart and you're ready to be surrendered. I want to pray with you, lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask the congregation to pray with me, if you would. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive Jesus for the pardon of my sins and for the fullness of salvation. And I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit. And I give you praise. And I release to you everything that I'm facing and dealing with. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Would you stay with us? He's going to turn this thing off, I guess, or whatever it is that he's going to do. And I just want to ask you, invite you, if you want to, if you can. Hey, I got a different guitar. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath I am able, I want to sing the goodness of God. I love your voice, and you have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath I'm able, I've got to sing the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. My life laid down and surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. My life laid down and surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me.